Good morning, everybody. Good to be here and amongst you, good guys. Feel like we've had a fountain showered upon us today, and are you ready for a bit more? appreciate the testimonies and all that's taken place so far. And interesting, felt the Holy Spirit lead us in praying for our brother, because the centerpiece of my message today is a very, very familiar story from Acts chapter 3, where the man that was taken to the gate, the beggar, it was just his day in terms of restoration and healing. So I do want to share from Acts chapter 3 in just a few moments. And I looked on the website this morning because I've not been here for a while, and I thought I just need to remember what road the church was on. That was the main reason. And then on your website you got listed all the people that have been preaching and the messages. And last week I think Colleen shared, and the little title against that was Hand. And I'm coming to you this morning and saying my title is What is in Your Hand? Yes. Okay. I thought that was interesting. That I just had a few minutes spare and I thought I'll just quickly have a look at the website. So that's the kind of overriding title of what I want to share, What is in Your Hand? And this is just a squeezy stress cow. The charity that I'm involved with, which is the Farming Community Network, we give out to people. In fact, we do encourage them to pay £1 for them, which a lot of people do. And we get rid of a lot of those, and it's got our information on there. And I do bring a welcome from my home church in Derby. My wife, Sandra, often is with me when I... at different churches, which actually is fewer these days, I have to say, which is fine. But she's tied up. She's still on the leadership of our home church, where I've stepped down from leadership 18 months ago to find a bit of space in my life. So and she's quite busy this morning at home church, otherwise she would be here. But I do bring greetings from what we are now called Reach Derby, on Pride Park in Derby. And just a lead in to what I want to share this morning, probably like a number of you as individuals or couples have an opportunity to pray together during the course of the day. And Sandra and I, we try to pray most mornings before we quite often go our separate ways in the service that God has called us to. And we did that this morning. We are very much a mission-orientated couple. And we find these days, as well as serving in the church in a variety of ways, we are involved with mission using the vehicle of chaplaincy. So my wife, Sandra, is a chaplain to our local primary school, where five of our grandchildren have gone through, but there's only one left now. She's been doing that for a little while, and they've asked to be the pastoral worker down there, and she sees four or five children most Tuesday mornings that are going through stuff. She's also a chaplain to a little shopping precinct, which is a walking distance from us, which is a new initiative. I personally am a chaplain to the businesses on Pride Park, which is a huge industrial area in Derby of 13,000 employees. And within that Pride Park, there's an NHS 111 call centre that I drop in and do a certain amount of my 2 or 3 hours a week as a chaplain in the call centre as well, together with another colleague. So we very often in our prayers, well, most occasions, Lord, we're just here. We surrender this day to you and just use us for your glory. That's basically a very common prayer that we pray, and I'm sure you do as well. And I use that as a starter into the story that I will read from Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him up from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." An amazing story. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that, as you've done already this morning, that you might plant in our hearts and minds that you would want us to carry forth into the world when we leave this place today, to be a blessing to others. So we ask in this few minutes that I share that we would be blessed in order to go and bless others in Jesus' name. And I just want to share two kind of thoughts really on this story. I see four hands at work in this story. The crippled carried each day to and from the gate Beautiful. Somebody or a group of people, or maybe they had a rota or whatever, was a daily service in taking hold of that man compassionately and placing him by the gate Beautiful, and at the end of the day, bringing him back to where he came from. A service that probably went totally unrecognized, but was so important for one individual. A truly faithful service. And as we think even about that use of hands, how much goes on in our world through individuals that are faithfully giving something away to somebody else in faithful, regular service. And you would have your thoughts of people doing that, and I will have my thoughts of people that are faithfully doing that. One use of these hands. And then there was those, through his own begging, that would be passers-by, maybe quite regularly, maybe not so regular, and they may possibly have just handed him some provision on that day to help him with his own sustenance and well-being and so on. That kind of use of hands that we give out of our treasure store to somebody else in need, seeing that there is a need in the first place, of course. There's an awful lot of that goes on as well, as we know, in using our hands to give out of our own blessing to others. And then, of course, the centerpiece of this story, the story about this man being healed, is that Peter reached out his hand and took him by the right hand. Peter had a choice to pass by or to do this on this particular day, and we'll just talk about that in a moment. With his brother John by his side, he took the man by the hand. And in this room this morning, somebody's taken an initiative to take their hand and put it on the hand of our brother for an increasing measure of restoration in his body today, as an example. There's numerous testimonies of that going on in God's church today, where people are praying for healing, praying for restoration, and it's not only within the church, it's God's ambassadors taking that out on their mission field, wherever they are, in an expression within our own area, and you would know them in here. It could be restored to the ladies on the street trying to earn a living, as we have them in Derby, or we feed the hungry on a Thursday night. We house them during the winter with night shelter and those kinds of things. People are reaching out their hand to these needy people. That's the third hand that I see here. The fourth hand, we read, once the man had received his healing and he went into the temple courts and expressed and demonstrated his joy and thankfulness, we read in verse 11, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running. He may have received his healing on that particular moment, but he needed ongoing care. And there are people out there that we know need a lot of care and regular care, and we keep praying for their restoration and healing, and they're not quite through, and that's in God's hands, but it doesn't stop us continually allowing that person to hold our hand for their own personal strength and security and so on. This man needed to hold on to somebody in that first few moments of walking after the healing experience. The importance of ongoing support, nurture and security. And if we summarize the four kind of demonstrations of the use of the hands, it's just asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what would you have me to do with my brother and sister and friends and those in need out there in the world and within the church and within my family unit and so on? What is it you would ask of me to put my hand to? today. The other thing that I always am amazed at with this story is, why was it on this day that the beggar got healed? And I'd like to suggest a few thoughts, but ultimately my first thought is this: it's all up to Master God. I think Stephen mentioned the word sovereignty early on in our service today. It's in God's plan and through God's sovereignty is the prime reason why I think it was this day that this man got healed. And we are all dependent on our living God for his intervention in whatever way it is. And when people come forward for ministry on a Sunday at our home church, and Sandra and I, we oversee a small ministry team, I as somebody that is ready to offer that ministry, I have to believe in myself that it's this day that this man or this woman that comes forward can be transformed, whatever need they come with. Quite often we have quite a number of internationals in our church, largely Iranians and Iraqis, there's some Albanians and Syrians, a few Eritreans and so on. And they are very needful people, as you would imagine, in terms of getting their security through being able to stay in the country, not moved on. They very often come for prayer for their families in need in their home country, to give them some peace and solace. We pray for them and others too that come forward, having perhaps responded to the preached word on a Sunday morning. And it's in God's plan and sovereignty that ultimately transformation takes place on that day. I would suggest on this particular day, I love the character of Peter particularly, and I believe one of the reasons why it was particularly on this day was Peter's availability and his empowerment. And you probably know Peter's story as much as I do. I go back to the time when he denied Jesus prior to the crucifixion. We know that story. But Jesus had it in mind to restore this man to whom he had been a disciple mentor to. I'm sure he had that. So I pick up the story when Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, when Peter was out fishing and Jesus was on the shore, and eventually they had breakfast together around the fish and so on, which was a setup, I believe, for the next part of the story in John chapter 21, when Jesus said three times in words to this effect, "Do you love me, Peter?" Because he was preparing Peter for his next part of his journey, and he was restoring Peter for purpose at that point. And that must have really galvanized Peter with all sorts of emotional feelings and so on, in realizing that though he denied Jesus, Jesus didn't reject him. In fact, he saw a lot more in Peter than Peter saw in himself, and he was lifting Peter up for purpose when beyond his ascension into heaven. Peter didn't know that at that time, but that's what that was all about. So there was that part of the story. And then, as we know, in Acts chapter 1, Peter was one of those just before Jesus ascended into heaven, where the famous verse 8 from chapter 1, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Peter was one of those disciples that was in that environment, and I believe he received the power that Jesus was sharing about. And like the other disciples too. So as that part of the story and that boldness and that power, Peter's availability, he became the spokesperson, didn't he, on the day of Pentecost. He was the one that stood up and exclaimed to the onlookers what had gone on and what was going on. Peter's authoritative boldness, I got down in my notes here, on the day of Pentecost, when he addresses the crowd and explains that what everyone had observed and experienced with this outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the languages through tongues and so on. He was trying to explain all that to them. He linked it into the Old Testament prophecy from Joel at that point, gives a summary of the life and acts of Jesus in chapter 2 of the Acts, and then he brought them to a point of a heart conviction, what should I do? Some of them took up that offer, having been convicted, and others didn't. So that was Peter, and I believe the reason why the healing took place on this day, because Peter knew he was the chosen one. He'd been empowered and he had been accepted by the Lord. I believe also a third reason why healing particularly took place on this day is, which is an amazing strength and power in the Christian church. In Acts chapter 2 and at the end, we've got the story, have we not, of the fellowship of the believers. And Peter on this day on mission with John, I believe, had come out of his house church environment or his church environment, having received prayer, having broken bread, as we read in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Peter and John came out of that environment with that backing and support from his brothers and sisters in that environment there. And I think with the emboldenment and the power that he had received was another reason why he was perhaps more alert and available on mission on that particular day. And the fourth reason I would offer is that he had John beside him. Jesus did send out the disciples in their training days in twos and in more than twos. And I believe that is so important in having a brother or a sister supporting us and walking alongside us. And I've been very much challenged about this in my chapter of the life that I'm in now. I know there are certain people within my own fellowship that pray for Sandra and I, and we value that highly. But the scriptures do say, I think in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 11 or it's thereabouts, where it said there are many advisors but not many fathers. And I'm speaking into my own heart here now, saying to myself and asking the Lord, Lord, to whom do I go these days when I want some wisdom and help from a Father in God? And I have to say to you people, I'm searching for that at the moment. There are a number of people that I can just offload and share it, but I know that I've had certain people that have fulfilled that role. I don't currently have somebody. And I know there's a little bit of space that God would have me fill to find a father in the Lord. It's a bit special, really. And on this occasion, Peter found him alongside a brother in the Lord, walking side by side, which is so important in the mission field. It might be that we're on our own in our particular niche, but we're part of a team that are walking together, and we can offload and pray together and support one another. So what is in our hand is the question. Why did it happen today? Can we continue to believe for a transformation in that that we've been praying for to happen today or the next time we see that person. Let it be today, Lord, in your economy and through your sovereignty. What is in your hand? Let us not forget the center part of this story was the man did get healed. And I do believe that we have, through God, that we can believe that if somebody is healed and we lay hands on them, actually his healing, interestingly if you read it, took place before Peter laid his hand on him, in that sense. But we have a lot of people come forward on a Sunday that's responded to healing. We pray for healing, trusting and believing. Sometimes there's a measure of healing on the day. Sometimes it takes longer. But healing took place here, so that's continued to believe that God's miracles can work in our day today to bring healing. Final thought is that whenever God demonstrates his power, we didn't read further beyond verse 16 in this story, but Peter challenges the people. In fact, he gave them an opportunity in verse 17. Now, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance. He starts there, but then he challenged them essentially with the gospel. And I believe whenever God demonstrates his power, so important as to what's happened, but salvation is even more important for the onlookers and the individuals. And Peter took the opportunity to share with them the gospel of the Lord. The church was starting to be built at that point. What is in your hand today? It may not be my little stress count. What has God gifted and called you to use in your hand? That will be unique for you. For me, these days, with a little bit more space in my life, I've transitioned quite a bit from paid work and into non-paid work. We never say we retire in the kingdom, do we? We say we're refired. But I find myself as an intentional listener in this chapter that I'm in. I give a lot of time to a lot of people that want to offload whatever they want to offload. I'm an intentional listener. And I'm also in that mix. I do pray. I'm an intercessor and I'm an encourager. So there's three things that at this moment in time in my walk with the Lord I feel he's using me in. And I see quite a number of men in the church that are struggling one way or another. It might be unemployment or whatever, house moves or anything like that. In my farming charity work, I'm listening to a lot of people. Active listening. But I would always say, I'll take that away and pray. And we'll pray together now if there's an opportunity. I was in a cafe the other day and we had a prayer across the table, for example. That kind of ministry. Folks, the world out there are desperate for somebody to give them time so they can share and offload. There are more speakers than there are listeners. And that is a ministry in its own right. That's what's in my hand at the moment. And I'm not rushing around looking for other things at the moment, but that's what God has called me to. Let's pray. Father, by your Spirit, Lord, just reveal to us what it is that you want us to have in our hand to give away to somebody else this week, the rest of this day even, in the various environments that we find ourselves. Help us to be a blessing to somebody today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before I finish fully, Steve, before you come up, in my prayers, I just had this little word that maybe for one might be more than one of you, if I can find it. John chapter 12, 24 and 25, which again is quite a very, you'll know the scripture. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And I just felt the Lord saying, maybe for one or more than one, in order for fruit to start to come again in another area of your life, something needs to be put down or die. And dying well is very important. I'd say that, and I've got a testimony on that. But if you feel like, and God's perhaps already spoken to you, I know I've got to just lay that thing down in order to give God space to show me what the next thing is. Death and life together. I'll leave that with you anyway. Thanks very much for the opportunity of sharing.